Welcome to Monday. It's Monday. Let's start the show off right.
Okay.
Oh, by the way, this is your run sheet I printed for you.
Oh, you did?
Isn't that nice?
You printed a run sheet for me?
Just for you.
He actually wants me to know what's going on. That's sure. Very rare. He doesn't. Yeah, it's very scary. He likes to just run things and let me fly by the seat of my pants.
Well, let's start the week off right, shall we? We shall. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for this week. Thank you for this ministry. Thank you for this podcast. Thank you for the show. Thank you for this time I get to spend with my wife. And thank you most of all that we get to talk to these people who are listening right now. We just pray, Father, that you will bless this week, not only just for me in faith, but also for everybody listening, that you will just lighten their day, give them a little joy through our laughter and our situations. And we ask that you just bless their week. Bless the time that they listen to us, and so that they may in turn be blessings to others. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Look what I found. This is awesome. When I want to run away, I drive off in my car. But whichever. The name of this band's called The Wrecking. I love their take on the song. The sun, so soon we'll burn. Without a noise, without my pride, I reach out from the inside. In your eyes, the light, the heat, your eyes, I am complete. Got it. So you kind of get isn't it great?
Yeah, Christian version.
Yeah, they've taken it to that Christian perspective, and the video is really cool because it kind of goes there. And they've taken it to the Christian perspective, but it's also like almost a Foo Fighters version of the song. Yep. It's really cool. Guitars in it are great. It's so exciting.
Very exciting for a Monday.
It is. It's going to be a great week, man. I'm just so excited. I can't stand it.
I can't stand it.
Now what I do? Oh, here we go. Got to shuffle on the radio with Brad Bass. I got two blind squirrels in the morning. Two blind squirrels at night. Oh, yeah. Two blind squirrels in the morning. Radio on demand. It's all right. All right. And on today's show, we're going to talk about growing kids God's way. It's a class to be in faith to teach. You'll hear more about it.
Two blind squirrels in the morning, people radio on demand, it's all right.
All right.
Haven't we talked about growing kids God's way before?
Yeah, every year when we start to teach the class.
I'm thinking, haven't they all heard this before?
Well, we have new listeners, you know.
Yeah.
Old listeners get tired of listening to us,
say.
And new listeners come along.
We have new things to say.
And we also have new things to say because it impacts us differently and newly every year.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we're preparing for the class this year, and we're getting kind of things together. And we had a lot of people show up for the informational meeting, and I pretty much, like, talked a couple of couples out of taking it.
Yep.
Because
that's our goal.
I'm like, this is a very big commitment, and you don't need to take this class unless you can commit to doing it. Unless you commit to doing your homework, guys, I'm going to require you to do your homework. I'm going to call on you directly. And anyway, so this guy sitting over there with like his arms crossed, and he's all like, hey, what is this? Why did my wife drag me to this thing? I don't even know what this is about. And he's just sitting over there, and that's my perception anyway.
Right.
And so he hadn't said anything, or cracked a smile the entire thing. And so I said, I'm going to call on everybody. You know, I expect all of you guys to participate and everything. And I called on him and I said, hey, I said, isn't that right? Or I don't even know what I asked him. I said, does anybody have any questions? I said, how about you? You haven't said anything all class. You got a question? And he said, what do you ask when you don't know what to ask? I said, well. I said, our pastor says you should go out for Mexican food. Because that's what he'd said that morning.
Yeah.
He'd said, when you don't know what to do, go have some Mexican food. So Or when in doubt, go eat Mexican food. So, anyway, no, everybody kind of thought that was funny, but he didn't laugh.
No.
And I'm like, yeah, I don't want you in my class.
They didn't take it anyway, so that's all right.
And they didn't take it. So I'm not saying that made me happy. I feel sorry for him. But still, the people who were left that are taking our class, I'm really excited about it. I mean, they're a great group of people. And I only know like two of them. But the rest of them seem really, really nice and talkative and interested and committed. And
I think it's going to be a good year.
We have a set of grandparents taking the class.
Yes, who are raising their grandchild.
So if you don't know what Growing Kids is, me and Faith lead this class. Although we feel like we teach it. Don't we feel like we teach it?
Yeah.
We lead the class. There's actually a video series. It's put out by Dr. Ezzo, who wrote Baby Wise, if you ever heard of that book. It was a bestseller. But he's taken biblical principles, and he applies them to parenting. And it's actually a biblical ethics class. That's what it's called, biblical ethics. But it's applied to parenting. And he takes biblical principles and applies it to raising your kids and just being husband and wife, really.
A lot of common sense. A lot of
stuff like that.
A lot of stuff that was lost in a couple generations ago.
Sure, yeah. And not everybody agrees with the class. It's not the only parenting class out there. It's certainly not,
don't say that it's the only one.
The only one, or we just think it's the best one we've ever
come in contact with, yes.
But that doesn't mean it works for everybody. I mean, I'm sure other people have different takes. But so that's what it is. It's a 17-week class, and if you're interested, there's probably one in your area. You can just Google it or contact your local churches. But we have a good time with it, and we've been doing it for about 8 years. Mm-hmm. But some of those years we actually led it twice, so we've been through it probably 10 or 11 times. A lot of supporting material, been to a bunch of conferences and all this kind of thing. So it's a lot of scripture behind it, and we like it.
Yes, we do.
We like going through it. We like going back through the Word. We like the reminders of what we're in it for, which is ultimately to lead our child
to the Lord,
to the love of righteousness, and to the Lord. That's right.
Definitely.
And I think you were just saying before the show, we were kind of going over what we're going to talk about, and you were saying that it's the most important thing that we do as parents is this to lead, or just as adults, and that is to lead the next generation into biblical ethics and into a relationship with the Lord. Mm-hmm. I mean, if we don't leave this country, if we don't leave the generation that's following us, if we don't leave the majority of the generation that's following us with a love of righteousness and a love for the Lord and a relationship with the Lord, then, you know, we failed as a generation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think from a mother's perspective, our pastor did a sermon this morning. It was 1 Samuel 25, verse 13, where David leads the army off to fight the Philistines, right?
He takes 600 soldiers with him to fight.
And he left 200 left to guard the stuff.
200 behind.
And his sermon.
And actually, the King James says, the stuff.
The stuff.
To abode with the stuff is what my version says.
So his whole sermon was about the stuff, the little things, you know, they stayed with the chariots and the women and the children and the
chariot wheels
and
the chariot wheels
and the food and the the swords and to guard, because that's very important. Those need to be guarded.
Mm-hmm. He called it the Cheerios.
And anyway,
they had to stay back and guard the Cheerios.
And that just got me. He wasn't necessarily it wasn't focused on mothers or parenting at all. It was just focused on where you find out where the Lord has you to be. And then, and then seek his will in that place where you're at, even if it's a small little place in the middle of nowhere, if he's got his hand on you, then, you're going to be used for great things.
Right.
And so it just really got me thinking about, the take care of your Cheerios, as mothers, everybody knows that toddlers eat a lot of Cheerios and that you step on Cheerios and you're digging them out of high chairs and out of chairs and out of bibs and out of clothes and out of car seats and out of your car. And Cheerios are everywhere when you have young children. I'm sure John knows that well. So anyway, it just got me thinking about...
Was that a Wilkerson reference?
It was.
Oh.
that women, you know, seem to, in this generation, sometimes feel like they're not fulfilled as a mother at home, that it gets to be all about, it gets to be about the dirty, nasty things during the day, the diapers, the wiping of the spit up, the, you know, all of the dirt and the mess and the muck that we deal with on a daily basis. But those, that care and caretaking of those children is the most important thing that I think we do. That mm-hmm. because that molding of those children and that singing Jesus loves me and teaching them that the Lord mm-hmm. loves them and that he can be their savior and one day sitting down with them and praying mm-hmm. with them. I mean those little girls that I prayed with and those families that have been in my home that have accepted Jesus because they've been with me and had that opportunity to hear about him and have asked them as their savior has mm-hmm. been a bigger blessing to me than anything else.
Yeah.
And women need to realize that, and their husbands need to realize that, that what women do that stay home, it's not easy. And they're not sitting around doing nothing. At least they shouldn't be. and unless they're taking time to rest, which needs to happen.
Yes.
And it is the most important thing they can do for your family, for your husband, for the next generation,
yeah.
for the Lord. The Lord has, you know, has given women a desire to take care of their children and to be mothers and to have children. And we need to put our arms around that and say, this is my calling and I'm going to ask God to, you know, bless it with all that I can. And yeah. I'm going to ask to be fulfilled in this calling because mm-hmm. it can be very hard to feel fulfilled when you're changing 10 diapers a day. And, you know.
But what you're doing has eternal.
Yes, it has eternal value. It has eternal value.
And what we as men do is sustain the family for that eternal value.
Yeah.
I mean, when I say what we do, there are things we can do to also have eternal value
of course.
In our family, and we better be doing those
and
things.
And dads do that too, yes.
Just saying a prayer for your wife and your child. I mean, you know, they may never know you did it, but that has eternal value, mm-hmm. and God knows you did it, and he credits it to you. But what I'm saying is going to work. You know, we go to work, if we go to work and leave our wives at home, then, you know, all we are doing is sustaining them so they can fight the battle. We're watching the stuff. They're the ones fighting the battle. Mm-hmm.
And any stay-at-home dads, you know, vice versa.
Vice versa.
And, you know, and women who go work, that doesn't mean that you're not...
Well, this is an attack on them.
Yeah, I'm not attacking anybody. I have no issue with women who work.
The point is that guarding this stuff is important.
Yes.
And when the neat thing about that lesson is, if you skip a few chapters, when
yeah.
he comes back from the battle, and the battle took a couple of chapters.
Right.
But you go back from the battle, when David walks up and he sees all the stuff, the men who are guarding the stuff come out to meet David. David salutes
he
the men.
He greets them.
He greets them with a salute.
Yeah.
Because they actually took their job seriously.
Uh-huh.
They evidently...
And they guarded it. Nobody got it.
Evidently, things were in order when
yes.
he got back. I mean,
yes.
this wasn't a haphazard. People are just hanging out.
It wasn't a mess,
and,
yeah.
You know,
he greeted them. But then the other soldiers came and said, we're not going to give them the, you know, the bounty that we got, we're not going to share that with them because they just stayed behind. They were.
They can take their wives and children. And
yeah,
go away.
They can go. That we won't hurt them. But you know, they just sat here. Well, we did all the work.
Right.
And David said no.
Actually, he didn't just say no. He says, who's going to listen to this nonsense?
Yeah, he told them they
will
were ridiculous.
To you?
Yeah.
And he said they will get an equal share.
Yes. And you know what they did was just as important as what you did.
Right.
And men. I'm sorry, but there are some men out there who think that their job is more important because they go and they leave the house and they drive to work and they work really hard and I know they do, and they work very hard and they make a lot of money and they bring it home,
yep.
and they think that that's more important than what their wife does at home, and it's not. They're equally important. They're important for different ways, but they're equally important. And you need to appreciate each other. Wives, appreciate your husband for what he does, and don't think that he doesn't work any less hard than you do. You need to appreciate each other for where you're at, where you're at.
I actually work way less harder than my wife. I'll go ahead and admit that. I go to work where it's nice and peaceful, and nobody pukes on me. I don't even break a sweat unless I actually go to the gym and intend to. And nobody spits up on me. I don't have to change anybody's diaper.
No.
No.
Please don't do that. No,
that would be really weird. I think you might get
fired for some kind of sexual
sure.
misconduct or something.
I get to listen to my music all day. And I get to talk to people in the community at the forum and then I work, but if you looked at what I did all day and then looked at what Faith did all day, I don't think you'd call what I did work.
It's work in a different way.
But it's what God's giving me. That's God's right. giving me that job to sustain what we're doing outside of that 8 hours every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I he's given me a blessing of a job so that everything I do outside of that job can, it's sustained. Mm-hmm. Sustained. Is that what I'm trying to say?
Sustained.
I'm getting lost in there somewhere. So husbands, pray for your wives. Wives, pray for your husbands. It's the most important. That is the most important thing you can do for each other. And then together, pray for your children. Mm-hmm. Pray for the next generation below you. And, it's not just on parents. I mean, if you don't have any kids, pray for your neighbor's kids. Pray for the next generation. We can do that as much as we can do anything. Mm-hmm. He told this great story about this servant girl. And she was a servant girl. She had no family. She was just a servant for this family. And she was a servant forever. I mean, she was like her whole life. But she was always had a smile on her face. She was always full of joy. And she was asked when she was older and the family would all kind of go on. And she was just this elderly lady. And she was asked how she kept her joy all those years, just being a servant. And she said, and she told this story about every night, every day she would get the paper when they were done with it. Mm-hmm. And instead of throwing it out, she would tuck it away. And at night when she went back to her room, she'd take the paper back to her room. And she would open it up and she would read the obituaries and the marriages and the births. And she would kneel and she would pray for all the babies that they would come to know the Lord as their mm-hmm. Savior. And she would pray for all the marriages that they would be, a blessing to each other and all that. And then she would pray for all the deaths and all the families and that the Lord would comfort them. And she said, the Lord provided me such peace that she was always had joy. And she always looked forward to that. And it's just amazing that servant girl was having such a profound impact on mm-hmm. the world. And as from the Lord's perspective, every time she prayed for somebody who was lost, for some little baby, that prayer counted to her as evangelism.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You don't have to go under the street corner with your Bible and accost everybody that comes across, that you come across.
It's not a bad thing to do.
I'm not saying
accost them. But
not everybody is called to do it.
Right.
But we can pray for the lost.
Yes, we can.
And that, that doesn't take some special gift from the Lord. It just takes a special spiritual gift to pray for the lost. Just say a prayer for them. And we can all do that. And we can all be blessed by that and have peace from that. Why are we not blessed? Because we don't ask to be. Because we don't do the things. We don't get in a place where the Lord can bless us. He's told us exactly where to be. Stand here and I will pour blessings out of heaven on you.
Yeah.
Tithe, pray for the lost, feed your neighbor, be nice to the people that are your neighbor. Who are your neighbors? The people I put right beside you. It's not like we have to, we don't have to go anywhere. Turn to your right, turn to your left. Those are the people right there. Love your wife, love your children, lead them to a relationship with me. If we'll just stand in the place, all we have to do is stand in the place he told us to stand. Mm-hmm. He said, the rain's coming here.
Yep. And that's what that sermon was.
No, we gotta get in.
Stand there and ask the Lord, I want to be fulfilled where you've put me. Fulfill me where you've put me.
But the flesh says, no, coming out of the rain. Sit in here and watch this television. Turn your mind off.
Yep.
By golly, I'm fired up. It's going to be a heck of a week. I'm telling you. All right, well, that's enough, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess so.
Wow, we laid enough on it for one day, hadn't we?
Preach him.
Phew.
Preach at him on a Monday.
Didn't know you were going to tune in for preaching on a Monday. Well, okay. All right, then. Good, good, good. Okay, well, I guess we'll wrap it up. Where did my music go? Oh, it's over here. We got a lot planned for this week, too, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
This is a really long run sheet we got going on.
I got a lot of things to say. It's going to be fast-paced shows. It's going to be... It's going to be exciting. I'm excited to see what the Lord's... You know, somebody sent me this email, and I'm going to have to share it with you. I'll probably do that tomorrow. And, by the way, tomorrow...
Yeah.
Everybody be ready, because tomorrow we're going to do a Would You Rather call.
Ooh, cool.
Could be you. Could be you were calling. You don't know. It's not you were calling, because we recorded this last week.
So don't be scared or anything.
Could be you next time. You never know. Miles con Dios, everybody.
Con Dios.
Two blind squirrels are gooder than pie.
This show was sponsored by the grace of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to have your life sponsored by the creator of the universe, then go to a Bible near you and turn to Romans 3:23, where it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." But what does this mean? It means that before a holy and perfect God, we are all broken. If you know this to be true, then you must admit that you are a sinner. Sin separates us from God and prevents us from being in His presence. Now, once you've admitted you are a sinner, you must be willing to turn from sin. In Romans 6:23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord." So how do we become right with God? We need a way to be forgiven for our sins, and that way is through the sacrifice and raising up of Jesus Christ. In Romans 5:8, it says, "But God demonstrates His own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Through prayer, invite Jesus into your life to become your personal Savior. It says in Romans 10:10, "For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved." It also says in Romans 10:13, "For whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." If you know these things in your heart, then here's an example of what you might pray. "Dear God, I am a sinner and I need forgiveness. I believe that Jesus Christ shed His blood and died for my sin. I'm willing to turn from sin, and I ask Jesus to come into my heart and my life as my personal Savior. Open yourself up to the infinite grace of God, and it will change your life for eternity." This offer is non-refundable. Valid in all states. No further purchase is necessary.